Last couple of days, if you were here at the 5 p.m. service last night, we enjoyed a terrific choir that sang along with the worship team, and I really enjoyed that, and really enjoyed the worship this morning, and the singing, and the chimes, special things for Christmas time. My name is Adam. I am the other pastor here at Our Savior. So glad to be with you. I have this thing every Christmas where I get sick, and I don't just get sick. I get, like, really sick at Christmas, and so yesterday morning, I went to the doctor's office, and of course, I have a sinus infection, and there's something about an infection that, like, presses on your brain that just makes you feel foggy, have trouble concentrating, all these things, and so in addition to the coughing and the sneezing and everything else, and so this will be short, sweet, and to the point this morning, because I don't know how long my voice will last, but as I contemplated and made that decision last night, I figured I don't think a lot of people are going to complain about getting out a few minutes early on Christmas. I know you get your going other places, and so if you have your Bible, let's open to Isaiah 40. If you can do two things at the same time, I would love it if you would listen and pray for me at the same time. I managed to go about two-thirds of the way last night and then kind of fell apart in a coughing fit for a little while, and hopefully I'm feeling a little bit better this morning. I'd like to be able to get all the way through, but if I do, I'll try to mute the mic and I'll try to recover as quickly as possible. Got water, got a cough drop, and so we will do our best together this morning. Frankly, I selfishly want to do this. I love to preach the good news of Jesus at Christmas, and I want to do this morning. It's so good to be together. I'm so glad you're here. Let's read Isaiah 40, starting in verse 1. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Would you join me in a word of prayer? God, we thank you for this good news of comfort at Christmas. I pray that even in these few short words, that we would see your splendor and glory, and that we would take comfort in the only thing that can really bring us true and lasting peace. The fact that you've come near to us in Jesus Christ. And so, God, I pray that we would see hope here. I pray that we would find joy, rest, and God, that the comfort that is Christmas, that is the message of Christmas, would sink deeply into us. God, I do pray that my voice would hold out. I thank you for those that pray for me and ask that you'd bless us with that, simply, Father, so we could proclaim your good news for your glory here. Pray for my words as well, God. I want to say things that are true, and so if I don't, God, would you just be good enough to wipe that clean from our memory? We only want to take away what you have for us from this time. In the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Well, I don't think I said it. Merry Christmas to you. It is good to be together. During the Advent season, which is the season leading up to Christmas, we've explored popular Christmas time themes. Not even themes always that are specific to Christmas, but I think that the world would put around what we call, you know, generically the holiday season. But what we've been seeing is that these themes that people kind of try to look to and find in the holidays, they're more true when we see them with Jesus as the center than people could otherwise ever possibly imagine them to be without Christ. And so the first week we took light, for example. Lights are popular at Christmas, but lights become so much bigger when you know that Jesus is the light of the world and he's come to illuminate darkness and show us the way to God. So that's what we did the first week. The second week we looked at the theme of peace. People associate peace at Christmas time. Only though when Jesus reigns as king will there ever be true peace. Will there be justice for the poor and the kind of love that our world desperately needs, a kind of love that springs from truth, brings peace. Last Sunday, our theme was home. People want to be home for Christmas. There's a prophecy that we looked at in Isaiah 35 given to people in exile that says that the coming Messiah will make for you, for us, a place of rest and of order unlike anything that you can imagine. And all of us who are Christians, we said last week, should to some degree feel like we're in exile waiting to go home. That doesn't mean we don't invest in this place. In fact, that's actually what God tells his people to do in exile, to live there and to work for the good of that city and the good of those people. So invest in this place. Work for the good of this place. But know that God has something more for you if you are a Christian. And the final theme of our Advent series that we will explore this morning for just a few minutes is the theme of comfort. There's a song that I love. We don't sing it a lot in corporate worship. Maybe we should remedy that next year. But it's the song, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. And the refrain in that song is longing for comfort and joy, longing for the comfort and joy of Christmas. Here's the first verse of God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. It goes, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power, for we had gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy. And then it says it again, O tidings of comfort and joy. So in plainer words, what that means, what that says is, remember the birth of Jesus and take comfort. Remember the birth of Jesus and take comfort in his birth. Take comfort and have joy even in the midst of crooked times, even in the midst of wicked times, even in the midst of evil times. Because Jesus was born. Our passage starts out, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Chapter 40 of Isaiah is about the glory and the power and promises of God. In fact, if you look at the overall structure of the book, chapters 1 to 39, those are the parts that are hard. Those are the parts that are often rebuke. Those are the parts that are warnings. And chapter 40 starts the good news of the book. And that's where we pick it up. It's about the glory and the power and the promises of God. Where this fits in with the larger chapter, chapter 40, these first verses, are that the people are in exile. And the people have ended up in exile because of their unbelief. They haven't trusted in God. But graciously, God comes and will say, I haven't forgotten you. I haven't left you, and I won't give up on you. That's what it means when it says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. The people here are assumed to be in exile in Babylon, far away from their hometown of Jerusalem, the symbolic home and center of their country. But God gives them hope. He says, you'll be back there one day. That's how this fits into the larger structure of chapter 40. And so I think everybody in here, when we come to the theme of comfort, is coming from one of two places. In fact, for you, it's likely a mixture of the two, but one probably dominates the other. The first place is you're saying, I need comfort. I need the comfort of Christmas. I need comfort because life is difficult. The challenges seem overwhelming, and I need something. I need something to cling to. So that's one end of the spectrum. And then the other end of the spectrum is to come in and say, I am comfortable. I don't need anything. I'm set. Like I said, most of us are probably somewhere in the middle, or we swing from one side to the other. These next few verses have something to say for both ends of that spectrum, for both places. Verse 3, this is what John the Baptist, if these words are familiar to you, it's because they're what John the Baptist says when he begins his work. This is a voice in the wilderness crying, calling out, make straight the paths. By their unbelief and their lack of trust in him, God's people have become barren. It's a metaphor he's using here. It's a word picture. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. God's people have become barren. Here we see a desert, a picture of physical barrenness, but they have become spiritually barren in their unbelief. signaled by the condition that they're now in physically. They don't have a home. They're not at rest. There's not a place where they can sit down and really feel true like it belongs to them. And then verse 4 is the grace of God saying to those who need comfort that He is preparing the way for the Messiah, the King. That's what verse 4 says. You know, there is something that I've not learned yet. I've seen it often in more mature Christians. And I hope to learn this one day. But this lesson is that real comfort, lasting joy, doesn't come from circumstances. Having circumstances changed, having things fall in your favor. But real comfort and real joy comes from knowing that God is with us in the midst of every circumstance. That's a lesson that I haven't fully embraced in my heart yet. I know it and I can say it to you. In fact, I usually only see it in more mature believers. And again, just so we're very clear, the lesson is that lasting joy doesn't come from circumstances. It doesn't come from having circumstances change to your favor. But comfort and lasting joy is only going to come from knowing that God is with us in the midst of every circumstance. That's what God is promising to His people here. Yes, you're in exile. Yes, it feels like your circumstances will never change, but be comforted by knowing that I am with you. That's what the Lord is saying. That's a next level comfort. It's a next level comfort to your changed circumstances. That you're going to miss that if you're always waiting and if you're always looking for how can I just change the things around me so that I feel more comfortable. How can I fix what's gone wrong in my life so that things are different? Well, that's the next level of comfort to say, despite what's gone wrong in my life, just despite the fact that I feel out of place and out of order, I can have comfort and I can know joy because God is with me. I see this in the godliest people that I know. They have a health crisis or a family crisis. And it's so easy to want circumstances to change. And they do. I mean, everybody wants what's better. They want what they think is best. That's normal. But there is an inner peace and an inner comfort from having heard and believed God saying this. And I think it's really only possible for those who have suffered from time to time. For those who have had to call out to God and say that despite what my circumstances are, God is good. God is with me. Like I said, I don't have that yet. I'm hoping by one day, by the grace of God, I do. I find it mostly in older saints who've had years to learn it. And I think most of them would tell you that it hasn't come easy or it hasn't come naturally to them. But they've been in need enough times to know this. They've been in need to know need is always going to be there. There's always going to be some new need, some new circumstance that needs changing. What really matters is believing and knowing that God is with them. Whether or not the circumstances change, He is there. And He is. He is there. Friends, on Christmas, that's the message, it's the comfort of Christmas. Whether or not the circumstances change, God is here with you. God is with them. With you in them. He is here. He is with you. It's the comfort of Christmas. And then there's that other end of the spectrum, the one where you say, I'm not grasping for things to change, but I come in here and I feel on my own like I am comfortable. You say, comfort, comfort my people. I am comfortable. I have what I need. Look at verse 5. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. All people are going to see this. If you're approaching Christmas and it's about comfort, but you're the one providing the comfort, your comfort is in what you've built or what you can buy, or your comfort is based on circumstances, and if those circumstances that are right now for your good were to change, you would no longer feel comfortable, then you have the wrong kind of comfort. a temporary kind that will not last. Because as our older saints, who are more godly than I, will tell you, needs will always be there. You will always have need. You will always have want. When the glory of God is revealed, we will see that. So what is this comfort that Christmas is supposed to bring? What are the tidings of comfort and joy that we sing about? And God rest ye merry gentlemen. Well, tidings, we don't use that word anymore. Tidings are news. That's what it is. News of comfort and joy. That news is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God sent His Son to be born into the world. To know us and to identify with our circumstances and to die on the cross in our place. So that we might have our sins forgiven, we might live with Him forever. That is the tiding of comfort and joy. The tidings of Christmas are not stockings hung with care. They're not cookies. They're not warm fires. As good as all those things are, I like all of those things. But they don't bring comfort that lasts. They don't bring comfort that sustains. If you find the comfort of Christmas to just be that everybody is nice to one another, and the credit card bills aren't due until January, and we can just pretend for a little while that there's nothing wrong with the world, that's not comfort that lasts. That's not comfort that sustains. Today, as you go off and you celebrate with your family, or you gather with friends, think about what true comfort is and where your comfort is coming from, where your peace is. What are you taking joy in? The comfort of Christmas, friend, is that no matter what your circumstances, that God is with you. That's what happened in a stable all those years ago, that God came to be with us and to show us that He is here with us, that He knows your life, that He knows your circumstances, that He can identify with you, and He can be your high priest, and He is your king in the midst of them, circumstances difficult or not. These Israelites, they're in exile, and this is what they're asking. Is God with us? Where is God? Has God forgotten us? And so God comes after 39 chapters of saying judgment and woe. God's answer is no. I have not forgotten you. I am here with you. You're not at home right now, but you will be one day soon. And so look toward Jerusalem. And in the midst of this, take comfort. Comfort, comfort for my people, says God. And He says, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. The Messiah will come, and He will comfort His people. So as you celebrate today, what are you taking comfort in? Take comfort in your circumstances. Do you take comfort in the fire that you might have and the food that you might eat? As great as those things are, who doesn't love a good fire and good food? But is that your source of comfort? Because those are things that will not last. Those are things when the circumstances change, when there is no more fire and there is no more food. That will not last, but the joy of the Lord, the tidings, those tidings of comfort and joy will last forever. Let's pray together. Thank God for these tidings of comfort and joy, and then after a moment of reflection, our worship team will come and we will sing, I think, a very underrated and great Christmas song. I love to sing this last song. I'm not going to tell you. It's going to be a surprise for you, but I love to sing this last song. Let's pray. God, we thank You. I thank You personally, God, that my voice, for the most part, held out through this. Thank You for answering that prayer directly. God, I thank You for the chance to sing together. And God, we thank You most of all for Jesus this Christmas. That He is our tiding, the good news of comfort for our joy. May we proclaim this good news for the joy of all people. And God, help us to know that no matter our circumstances, You are here with us. And that is the good news. That is the comfort of Christmas. Thank You for Jesus. It's in His beautiful and precious name we pray. Amen.